Since we do not have evening service typically on Mother's Day, I'm going to preach a Mother's Day message now. So what I want to do is talk a little bit about at least my thoughts on Mother's Day. And the thing that amazes me the most, I told Rhonda, I said I wish I'd gotten like I did that one time, had a prize of candy or something up here, because I want to ask you a question. In which gospel, okay, so there's only four, so in which gospel was the story of Jesus when he was 12 years old and was at the temple in Jerusalem? What's your guess? Who said Luke? Okay, you would have won. But unfortunately, I don't have any candy out here today, so I apologize. So I thought about giving out some of my, I bought a cookie tote from McDonald's. I thought about giving away those, but I'm too attached. So anyway, I'm just kidding. Anybody's welcome. I got like eight of them left, so anybody's welcome to have some after service if you want. So now that that's out of the way, Jesus, when he was 12 years old, do you realize that's the only thing we know about Jesus as a boy? I would love to have known Jesus, or at least the things that have occurred when he was a boy. And I'm like Mark Lowry. Mark Lowry was doing a comedy skit, I guess you call it a skit. But anyway, he was doing something. He was like, why didn't somebody write something down? God's in the house. You know, and he was just lamenting the fact that we know nothing about Jesus as a boy. But the thing I want to impress upon you was when Jesus stayed behind, he was with a caravan, if you don't know that already. He was with a caravan, and somehow when they left, after their religious rituals were completed and they were leaving, they thought Jesus was with some of the other people, and well, of course he wasn't. And they went like a whole day's travel, I think a day's travel, maybe more, and then realized Jesus wasn't among them. And so they had to turn around and go back. Well, guess what? They're going back to Jerusalem. Jerusalem's pretty large. How are you going to find a little small 12-year-old in a place like Jerusalem? Well, someone found Jesus in the temple, debating with the scholars and talking to them and answering questions and all this other stuff. Of course, mom and dad come up there and they're going like, Jesus, we went so worried. I'm paraphrasing, of course, but they said, why have you done such a thing to us? So it's good to know that Jesus caused a little frantic actions on his parents, okay? We all have children who do that. We've got children who maybe even now cause frantic things to happen in our lives as parents, as grandparents. But it's nice to know that even Jesus's, not his earthly father, but his mother and his earthly father, they were frantic over Jesus. And so when they talked to him, he said, didn't you know I needed to be about my father's business? Yes, that was why he stayed behind. But the fact was, they were so upset that he went back with them, and it says, and this is the part we need to catch, is that he was subject to them from then on, okay? In other words, he obeyed. He did everything they had told him, and he grew in favor with God and man. But wouldn't you like to know some of the things that may have happened back then? Which I guess if it was that important, it would have been included in the Bible. Now, what's interesting, I'm going to say a statement that's very obvious, and you're probably going to go, duh, but all of you, including myself, were born from a woman. Now, why did I say that? There's a lot of people with the misconception now that men can have babies. Well, what it amounts to is a transgender woman who transgenders to a man. She's still a woman and has all the parts, and she can, you know, she can have kids. But she's, quote unquote, technically a man. Well, I'm sorry, but these same people who believe that a man can have babies are so upset and worried about disinformation on Twitter because Elon Musk just bought out Twitter, if y'all hadn't heard. I'm thinking, you guys are confused. If you think a man can have kids, but yet you're afraid of different disinformation on Twitter, come on, wake up. Get a life. But the fact is, you were born of a woman. That is the one unique ability of women on earth. God gave them that ability, and Satan hates it. He cannot procreate, and he hates you for being able to. That's one of the reasons he hates you. He hates you for being able to perpetuate the human race. Well, our culture is going bad, and I'm hoping, maybe it's beyond hope, but I'm hoping that there's going to be a turnaround at some point, that people will stop this woke, it's called wokeness, by the way, in case you're not sure. That's when you get so politically correct that you can't even, the new judge, I guess she was nominated or made a Supreme Court justice. Yeah, she was confirmed. She couldn't even define what a woman was. A senator asked her, can you tell me what the definition of a woman is? And she said, I'm not a biologist. Well, neither are you guys, but you can tell me. This is a Supreme Court judge who cannot, for political reasons, that's her only reasons, she knows what a woman is. I mean, she herself is a woman. But the fact is, there's people out there who have gone crazy. They're going crazy because they're trying to fit themselves in between all of these groups and all of these people who's trying to change our culture. And where a lot of it is occurring is in the education system. Now, you might think, well, what's a weird Mother's Day message? But no. Mothers were the ones who got up after they found out that maybe somebody can help me what state it was in, but they found out that in the school system they were saying the parents did not have rights to tell them what to do. Where was it?
California.
Yeah, didn't have rights to tell them what to teach their children. I beg your pardon because my children, and by the way, I've heard Biden say it, he says the children do not belong to the parents in the school system. Oh, I just get so upset and things like that. But the fact is, it's our children, and mothers especially know how to nurture those. Okay, so God has given mothers a special place on this earth. Mothers have the potential to change the face of all of this. Okay? Fathers, not so much, but they do influence a child's behavior. But mothers could change the landscape of this entire country and perhaps the whole world if the mothers would simply do what God has instructed them to do. You wouldn't come up with these crazy notions that men can have babies. You wouldn't come up with these crazy notions of accepting these groups that are anti-God, anti-Christ. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't accept. But unfortunately, we have mothers and fathers too, sad to say, but fathers too, are actually happy. They're happy that their kids are confused about what gender they should be. Now, you might think, you know, I'm going off on a deep end, but I'm not. It all boils down to how the children are taught. Train up a child in the way it should go, and what? They will not depart from the faith. Well, but if you train them the opposite, guess what? They're going to have a hard time coming to the faith because they don't know other way of life. And so mothers have a special place in our society. And I want you to know that and acknowledge that. Okay, so let's read Scripture real quick because I always want to base everything we say on Scripture. So in Exodus 20 and 12, and I know This same message could be preached for Father's Day, but it says, honor thy father and thy mother. Why? That thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth. Now, immediately, you might think, well, that scripture only represents Israel. Okay? You could argue that at first, but guess what? Let's read out of Ephesians 6. This is New Testament stuff, folks. Paul says, children, obey your parents. And you know, that's one of the key words, obey. Children, even adult children, they don't want to be under any kind of authority, especially under Jesus Christ. They feel like that they're that it's narrow. Well, I'm sorry, it is. Jesus himself says, narrow is the way, I think, when he said it leadeth to life, and broad is the way that leadeth to death. So that tells me, unfortunately, it's sad reality, but that tells me the majority are probably going to be taking the broad path, because the other path is so narrow. But obey your parents in the Lord. Okay, so right there is key. If you're Christian, that's the difference. But even if you're not Christian, children should obey their parents as long as it's within the Lord's guidelines. Now, if you were to ask me, is there ever a time that a child should not obey their parents? What would you say? Of course there is. I mean, if and I'm sad to report this, but there are parents, sadly mothers, fathers included, who have trafficked their own children out to other people. And I'm talking about as young as toddlers. It turns my stomach. But the fact is, there are good mothers out there. That's more the exception than the rule. The rule is primarily is that mothers love their children. They would do anything for them, even so far as giving their life for their children. Fathers do the same. But Paul is teaching us to obey your parents in the Lord. So if they are giving you, even if they're not Christ followers, if parents are morally correct, okay, don't you know, hey, little Johnny, don't steal off of your neighbor and don't lie and don't go off and do these things. Well, those things are morally correct and are in line with the Word of God. And even if they're not Christ followers, that's something that they should obey. They should obey. And he said, for this is right. But there's some parents that teach their kids how to steal, how to lie, and how to subvert the system. Unfortunately, that's not the rule. Thank God. But let's go to verse 2. Look at this. He says it again. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with the promise. What was the promise? Remember that? That you'd live a long life. Well, that was not just for the Israelites, but it's for us as well. And so I love that. I love the fact. Now, yes, I know there are exceptions. I do. I know that. But as a rule, if you honor your mother and father, you have a commandment from, or a promise from God. And if you honor your mother and your father, you will likely enjoy a long life. Verse 3. That it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. I don't know about you, but I want to live long on the earth. I do. Yeah, I know. There's times I get disappointed and maybe down in the dumps, and I just feel like the Lord, just call me home. Just take me home. I want to get away from all this craziness that's going on down here. People don't know what a woman is. People don't understand that men can't have babies. The world's going crazy. Just take me home. But no, he's leaving me here to spread the word, give the message. Now, the word honor, we need to define that. because we hear it so much and it just rolls off the tongue and we don't think about what it actually entails for us, okay? So as children now, as children, and we've all been there, I know a lot of our parents have passed away, but the fact is to honor your mother and father means to prize or to fix a value, especially a high value, on your parents. And it means by implication to revere. In other words, treat them with respect. You don't treat them dirty and ugly and all this stuff. You value them, okay? They're important to you. If they're important to you and you value them, you're not going to treat them bad. You're just not. And the thing is, we honor them. And it further, the word means to treat with honor, obedience, we just read that a minute ago, and courtesy. And finally, to esteem them and to value them as precious. Value your mother as precious. Now you might say, immediately, you might say, well, wait a minute. I grew up in an unloving home. My mother was unloving. What should I do about that? Or, well, if she's passed, the only thing you can do is forgive her. That's it. That's the only thing you can do. But if you are living in that situation, and I know most of you here aren't, but there are people who may hear me on the CD or the radio, if it ever gets on that, that are going to wonder, well, what do I do if my mother is unloving? The commandment did not distinguish. Did you notice that? Didn't distinguish. It says, it didn't say honor only your father and mother if they are loving to you. It didn't say that. It said honor them. You still have to obey them in the Lord, okay? In the Lord. You can disobey and you can do it biblically if they give you some kind of action or teaching that is against the Lord's teaching. Okay, that's the only real time that you can do that. But as a rule, most mothers are loving and caring, and they do show love, and they do show care. And there are exceptions, I understand that, and they do exist. But we definitely want to live long on the earth. Most of us do, anyway. We want to live long on the earth. And so this commandment comes with a promise. But more importantly, if I could just keep on with the definition of how to honor your mother and father, is to be there for them. They get in situations that they need help as well. Be there. And if your parents live long enough, visit them. Call them. Encourage them. I don't know, but when we reach a certain age and all of our children have left the nest, it's not surprising of the number of children that no longer want to have anything really to do with mothers and fathers. That's sad. That's sad because I look back on my own life, okay, I look back. My mother had COPD, and I'll be honest with you, I did not know how bad it was, because when I would visit her, she seemed fine. She seemed fine until the day she went into the hospital, and she was there for 10 days, and we thought she was not going to make it. And so after we, by the way, she did make it past those 10 days. She made it. She got well enough to go home, and she was able to go home. When I realized how bad off she was, I tried to spend, of course, I had to work during the days, but I tried to spend evenings away from my own family to go see my mother, because she lived over in Staffordsville, and I lived over in Christiansburg. And so I wasn't able to get down there as often as I'd like. And the thing was, my mother had this trick. God love her heart. Back then, it used to bother me. But she had this little trick. She always had a cup of coffee in her hand. Always. Constantly. And when I'd sit with her a while, and I'd talk with her a while, and her coffee, I noticed she wasn't drinking it. It just sit there. She'd hold it. It'd get cold. Well, when I mentioned that I'm leaving, can you heat my coffee up? Sure. I stick it in the microwave, heat it up for 30 seconds or however long, and give it back to her. Well, you know, she started another topic. So I'd stay there a little longer. I'd be like, you know, I got to go to work in a little while, you know, I got to get back. I got a good drive. I said, well, Mom, I'm leaving again. Well, could you heat my coffee up just one more time? Well, after about five of those, you sort of get the feeling you know what's going on, right? She wanted me to stay. And she was doing everything she could for me to stay. Even so much because she had oxygen and everything, she said, well, I need to go to the restroom. Could you just wait long enough till I got back? And I'm sure, I'll do that. I mean, it was just one thing after another. She would use these tricks. And by the first time I said I needed to leave, until the time I actually left, 2 hours might have gone by. And my mother was expert in that, in keeping me there. And it used to aggravate me so much because I'd go into work the next day, I'd be tired and whatnot, and then I'd go back to visit and it's all over again, you know? So I think back on it now that she's not here, and I have regret that I wasn't more patient, that I wasn't more kind, and that I wasn't more of everything. And it's the thing that you just don't realize, and I didn't, of how short of a time that you have your mother. You don't realize how short that time is. Now, you might not think it when you're heating coffee up five or six times, but it really is short because she passed away like 3 months after that. And so that went on for almost 3 months. I think the last few weeks, she was pretty much going into, I think it's referred to as it's where the carbon dioxide builds up in your blood when you have COPD. It builds up in your blood and it causes kind of like dementia and sleep. She slept a lot. And when she did wake up, she was disoriented. And I would have to try to convince her of where she was because she thinks she's wasn't home. And in reality, she was actually staying at my brother's house and he was taking care of her at the time. And she kept wanting to go home. And we'd have to try to convince her that she was home. Well, that was difficult. But the thing I regret, though, is all the things I could have done to honor her more. There's so much more I could have done. But that time has passed. And so when you go through this Mother's Day, whether your mother is alive or has passed on, I hope that you think of the good times, the joys that you had, the fact that God gave her as your mother. You see, He could have gave you someone totally different, someone totally unloving and uncaring. And yes, you may not have grown up in the most ideal of situations. And I can tell you, I did not. I did not grow up in an ideal situation. But my mother was always there for me. My mother was always, I'll tell this one story, and I think I've told it before. But my mother, I had actually gone to a revival when I was 13 years old. But by the time I was 14 and 15, I had drifted away from church. Okay, I drifted away. And my mother was so excited that when I had gone to that revival that I had given my heart to the Lord, but she was disappointed when I drifted away and stopped going to church. And so she started hounding me, quote unquote, to go to church. And I'd say, Mom, I don't think so. And we back and forth constantly. Earl, please go to church. Earl, please go to church. Go to church. Well, I figured out a way to stop her. I said, Mom, I'll go to church if you do. I didn't know her reasons for not going to this particular church. There were some people who did not like her at all. did not like my mother. I did not know that at the time. But they were very much against my mother, and she didn't want to go there. Well, that stopped it. So she never bothered me about church after that. It wasn't until I met Deronda that I got back in church. God knew what he was doing. But I was trying to be resistant. But I wished I would have obeyed what she wanted. She was so proud. She was so happy that I had gotten into church and was, I mean, man, I really, at 13, I was really into it. And she was just so proud and supportive and helpful. And we would sit, just like you and I would do, Gail, we'd sit and talk about Scripture and talk about the Lord. And then, of course, there was a time when my mother wanted me to go. And, of course, I believe I was married to Deronda at time, at least one of these times, but it was more than one that had occurred. But she wanted me to go to West Virginia to meet her people, people that I knew of but did not know. Does that make sense? I did not know them. I knew their names, but I haven't really gotten to know them. And so she wanted to make a trip to West Virginia. And she kept telling me, she said, oh, Earl, because me and Deronda drove up. Oh, Earl said, they got the greatest breakfast you could get. And, you know, mashed potatoes or fried potatoes and gravy and biscuits and all this other stuff. Man, she had me and Deronda just hungry as all get out. And I kid you not, we had to actually go across a couple of streams, not as big out here. When this is full of water out here, it's really bad. But we had to actually go across, and it was back in the woods, wasn't it, hon? But when we got there, the weather was warm enough, the doors were open, no air conditioning, and nothing. I mean, we're going back in the hills, folks, and we went in there, and we was like, oh, man, can't wait for that food. We walked in there, and, man, the flies were thick. Flies were thick. And Mom was telling whoever to, hey, they're hungry, you know, let's give them a banquet kind of thing, you know. And me and Ron are like, you know, we want to see some sights. We're just going to drive around a little bit and see some sights. And Mom was so disappointed because she talked up this breakfast, and we saw the flies, and we couldn't, and we just had to go. And we went, and we got something to eat. Anyway, then we came back. And my mom, she talked and talked and talked and heated coffee and talked and talked. The thing was, I asked her, I don't even know what time of day it was, but I asked her, I said, Mom, don't you think it's about time we needed to head back? You know, we're in West Virginia and, like I said, in the hills. And I didn't know, man, I was afraid I'd get lost. Back then, I didn't have GPS. And so I was afraid I'd get lost. And I told her, I said, don't you think it's time we get back? She said, well, I'm not all quite talked out yet. I'm like, oh my, we could be here for days. And I was joking with her, but that's the way my mother was. She loved to talk about the old times, about the good times, talk about the Lord, how he's kept us, and all these things. And I so much miss that. So enjoy your mother if she's alive. If she's not, enjoy the memories, the good ones at least. We all have some bad memories, I know, but enjoy the good ones. And honor your mother by trying to live out the teachings that she gave you. And, you know, my mother was pressing me to get into the Bible and to read the Bible. And so that's one way to honor your mother. Honor your mother, even though the time may have passed when you could have done more. But now's the time you can honor their memory. So whatever your situation is, find ways to honor them, because that is right in the sight of the Lord. Father, thank you for mothers. Thank you, Lord, for the way they guide us and the way they teach us. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us. Perhaps most of our mothers have already passed on. Many are in heaven, and that's a good thing, because there's one day, thank you, Lord, that I'm going to see them again. I'm going to see my mother. I don't know what all we'll talk about, but if they have coffee in heaven, I'm sure I'll be heating it up. But I know, Lord, I know that we'll talk of you and praise you and thank you. And I do thank you for the time that you gave me with my mother. I appreciate that, Lord. I do now more than ever, because a lot of things I couldn't see back when I was young that I can see clearly now. And so, Lord, I dedicate this message to all the people out here who maybe are having difficulty with getting along with their mothers. And so, God, I pray that you would heal those relationships. And, Lord, that you would draw them to appreciate their mothers. And, God, that you would help them, Lord, to become what you want them to be in the sight of the Lord. In Jesus' name, I pray all these favors. Amen.